Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.
Oh, hey, it's Dave from before. Dave Hill from Show Business. Dave Hill sitting here talking into a microphone. This week on the show, creator of Aqua Teen Hunger Force is Dave Willis. The Onion's Chris Karwalski, plus from The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Kylie Brakeman. It's The Novelizers.
Don't want your popcorn, don't want your milk duds, don't want my shoes stuck in pools of sticky cola. Don't show me romance, don't show me fist fights, just show me words printed out under the book light. Yeah, baby, novelize the movie. Give me sentences, paragraphs, and nothing to see. Yeah, novelize the movie. Write a book and turn it into a podcast.
Welcome to The Novelizers. I'm your host, Dave Hill. Thank you. This is the podcast where we rescue classic films by getting award-winning comedy writers to turn them into hilarious audiobooks. And this season, we're doing The Dark Knight, scene by scene by scene.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Really great, Stephen Levinson. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm excited about the show because do you know who is on the show today?
Yes, in fact, I do. We have Chris Karwalski. He's a longtime editor and writer for The Onion and co-host of the Show and Sell podcast. Duh. We've also got Dave Willis. He's an actor, writer, producer, the co-creator of Adult Swim's Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Say that five times fast. And has written for and appeared on a dozen other Adult Swim shows. Whoa. We've also got Kylie Brakeman. She's a comedian who has written for The Tonight Show, Dropout, and The Kids Tonight Show. The Kids Tonight Show. What?
It was a thing.
What?
It was a thing that it was a gig I really, really wanted to get. But damn yeah. It, Kylie Brakeman got it.
Oh, Kylie. She's known for her viral comedy videos and co-hosts the Improvised Hollywood Roundtable podcast, Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists.
I like artists.
Yeah, who doesn't? Besides the man.
So, where are we in our Batman story?
I'm glad you asked, Stephen Levinson. This time around, the Joker escapes with Lao. Alfred reads Rachel's letter, what? In which she professes her desire to remain with Harvey. He consequently decides not to give Bruce the letter. Harvey's alive, but with a severe facial deformation and a great deal of anger, the kind of anger that can only come after your face has been severely deformed and you're like, oh my gosh.
I'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that as someone who's, well, I do have a scar right here. I don't know if you could see that. Dave Willis, novelize us.
Chapter 18, Snap, Crackle, Bat. Novelized by Chris Karwowski, narrated by Dave Willis.
Snap. Jesus Christ on a timber wolf, muttered the Joker, his ears ringing. He had vowed just last week never to detonate C4 in any building he was still in. Oh well, that just means another quarter in the bomb oopsie jar, which he just remembered was also wired with C4. Even before the explosion, the Joker's brain was a bit funky. Sometimes he would snap awake, buying supplies at a hardware store, or kicking a gangster to death. He decided to just roll with it. And things seemed to work out. Mostly. The Joker jingled his keys, relishing the jingle jangle it made. The Joker spotted Lao, cowering. Oh yeah, this guy. The guy who knew where all the mobster's money was hidden. He is probably the reason he put a cell phone attached to plastic explosives inside the big fella. What did he promise that lug again? To surgically insert a Dalmatian puppy in his chest? Wow, I mean, how dumb can you get? How would that even work? The Joker smiled slowly. Lao burrowed even deeper into a corner. The Joker didn't mean to be scary. He was just thinking about a Dalmatian puppy with its face poking through a guy's chest, trying to eat pepperoni scraps. But he was being rude to Lao. Hello there, said the Joker. Snap. things went black. Fire burn. Burn good. Bad men try to kill fire, but fire renew. Bring new life. Fire bullies fight fire. Boo! Fire bullies. Boo water hose. Boo chemical suppressants. Mustache man angry at Joker. Joker give life to fire. Fire honor Joker by killing fire bullies with smoke. I mean, not immediately. Smoke kill over time with carcinogenic particulates thanks to toothless regulations enforced by purposely underfunded government offices. Fire laugh! Fire win! Snap. The Joker smiled, enjoying the cool air on his face while hanging out the window of a police car he had stolen and gotten someone else to drive. I don't know. His smile increased after he thought about how he didn't even think to cut a hole for the Dalmatian puppy to poop out of. That guy's chest would have been so full of dog crap after, like, a week. Especially after eating all those pepperoni scraps. He totally did that guy a favor by blowing him up. Snap. Things went black. Fire survive. Man dressed like bat, sad. Not fire's fault. Can't blame fire for being fire. Or can you? Fire not good at think. Fire good at burn. Burn, fire, burn. The next morning, Alfred Pennyworth discovered a letter on the Wayne table. He opened it gingerly. It might have been more of Master Bruce's Twilight fan fiction with his trademark more graphic than necessary erotic doodles. It wasn't. This one had tear stains on it. Lady tear stains. That was not a good sign. Meanwhile, Bruce Wayne sat in his ergonomic brooding chair. He needed it. He was extra sore and extra sad. He spent much of the night looking defeated on a pile of rubble, which can really put strain on your hips and glutes. He might ask Alfred to give him a massage later, but vowed not to get a super secret special massage. Bruce Wayne didn't deserve a happy ending today. Perhaps not ever again. Rachel was gonna wait for me, said Bruce Wayne. Alfred then realized what the tear-stained letter was probably about. He removed the letter from the silver platter. Master Bruce could read it later, perhaps. Either way, he was doubly glad he made smiley faces on his toast with condensed milk. Master Bruce loved condensed milk ever so much. He needed milk smiles more than ever today. Harvey Dent woke up with a start.
Oh, God! Oh, it hurts!
Thought Dent, lying on his side in a hospital bed. He wasn't the kind of man to scream on the outside.
Ow, 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 ow!
He spotted his lucky coin and reached for it.
Hurts! Ow! Holding the coin hurts!
Then the emotional pain of losing Rachel, mixed with the physical pain of his nerve endings regrowing.
Double ow! Ow!
Commissioner Jim Gordon exited Harvey Dent's hospital room. He'd gone in to apologize and instead gotten a lot of guff about everything that happened last night. This wasn't Jim's fault. It was someone else's fault, for sure. He'd figure out someone to blame after breakfast. You don't become police commissioner by taking the blame. Gordon turned and spotted Maroney, the insanely handsome gangster, whose bad boy swagger and impeccable style placed him on the FBI's and Gordon's most wanted list. He was always surprised that such a good-looking guy could be such a naughty lad. Jim wondered if he was enough man to turn that scamp around. Then Jim remembered he was married. To a woman. Happily? Sure. Yes. 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 Absolutely yes. Gordon and Maroney had some cops and robbers banter. Pretty cliche stuff, but fun at the same time. Then Maroney surprised him by telling him where the Joker would be later. He watched Maroney slowly walk away down the hall. Maybe there was hope for him yet. Gordon made a mental note to sleep with his wife tonight, or at least sometime this month.
Thank you, other person named Dave. I guess there's two of us now. We're not done novelizing you. There's more right after this. Thanks.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.
Wow, that was a great advertisement for a product. I can't imagine not wanting to own. Everyone should buy it. Anyway, we're back. Every week on the show, we talk to someone who worked on the film The Dark Knight. Let's hear that interview.
Welcome to the interview portion of The Novelizers. I'm Christine, and I am so excited today to be joined by someone who worked on the actual film The Dark Knight in a role that I've never even heard of. This is Trish Remote, and she was the boyfriend movie consultant. Did I get that right, Trish?
You got that absolutely right, Christine. I was the boyfriend movie consultant on The Dark Knight. I run a PR firm that specializes in test screenings for boyfriend movies. And what is a boyfriend movie? A boyfriend movie is, of course, a movie that boyfriends love, right? So any movie that is achieving that Godfather status, right? That Inception status. Those movies that a boyfriend will look to a partner and say, you have to watch this movie, babe. And so we set up test screenings basically with boyfriends of all demographics. And we make sure that this is a movie that boyfriends are responding to.
You not only do boyfriends want this, but girlfriends want this because girlfriends want boyfriends to take them to the movies, right?
That is exactly the ticket. And you would not believe how many first dates rest upon the boyfriend movie being successful, right? And so I got to work so closely along with everybody on set to make sure, you know, we were hitting those benchmarks.
Give me some examples of benchmarks that you were, you know, really making sure you were hitting when you were on the set there.
First off, we have to have lighting that is dark. Right? We have to make sure that everything is lit in a way that it feels mysterious and that there's a level of prestige to it. Another thing that marks a good boyfriend movie is, of course, an incredible lead acting performance and one that feels painful to do almost. And I think that this Joker was, of course, a man in pain, a tortured man. And there is nothing that a boyfriend loves more than looking at a tortured man and going, if he can do it, so can I.
Be tortured, you mean?
Be tortured, exactly. If he is going through all this, I, as a man, I can move forward. I can keep going.
Wow. And for a girlfriend on the other side of that, just playing the other side of this, like, I love to see tortured men too, because I like to imagine my boyfriend being tortured.
You know? Exactly. This is the kind of girl talk I'm obsessed with. And it benefits a boyfriend too, if you're a boyfriend with a boyfriend. What really matters is that a boyfriend with enthusiasm showing this movie to someone is what starts off a chain of reaction, right? And that builds hype, it builds prestige, and it builds momentum.
Yes. And then from there, you know, like, it could lead to a really amazing relationship, or it could just lead to really good ticket sales.
Exactly. We love love and we love money.
Now, how do you gather these boyfriends for the screenings?
We have a boyfriend database that we are so excited to draw from. Basically, we work with the U.S. Census to see who is a boyfriend. Do you identify as a boyfriend? Do you feel like a boyfriend, right? And then once you're added to the boyfriend database, we scour the nation interviewing boyfriends to get them into a room together. You know, I really love my job because I get to talk to boyfriends all day. And they're the people who I really love. You know, I was raised by two straight dads, and I think that they're just like a fascinating type of person. So it's been really a joy.
That was my next question is, okay, so I totally understand why it's really important for like first dates to have like really good boyfriend movies. But like what I want to know is what happens when someone moves from boyfriend to fiance or from boyfriend to husband status? Like now, are those still people that we care about or do you kind of move off of the radar at that point?
Well, this is what happens. And it's so tragic when a boyfriend comes to me and he says, you know, I have to become a husband, because that's when we place him in the husband category. And that's when they start watching exclusively World War II movies. It happens like a light switch. Oh. And so I have to pass him off to my sister, Dish Remote. And she has a husband database, and she does these husband screenings that are absolutely massive. All of these men, you know, just sitting there expressing discomfort or awe with kind of the same noise, which is sort of an old man, huh?
Oh,
you know, when something profound happens in a theater and the men go,
my God, when you
that's how you know something has happened.
I heard my father. That
you're transported.
Yes, 100%. I am in the den in my house growing up, and my dad is watching Saving Private Ryan, and he goes, huh.
Christine, I have to ask, and forgive me if this is too personal. Was your father a husband?
He was.
And this is what's so fascinating. Once you become a husband, you do transition out into a different category, a sort of like Ken Burns documentary. They start reading Sully Sullenberger's biography. Okay. You know, it's stuff like that that really puts them in the husband category. So my specialty is in the boyfriends. But when the boyfriends come to me and they say, I am engaged, it is so bittersweet. It's like sending a kid off to college.
Well, and at least you're sending him to a new pipeline that is still within your family. And what do you say? Your Trish, and your sister's name is Dish?
Yes. Ah, I love her. I have to text her.
Family business. Now, okay. So, okay. We've got boyfriend. We've got husband. Okay. So then, you know, unfortunately, 50% of marriages end in divorce. What happens when this husband becomes a divorcee?
Oh my God. I mean, Dish deals with this all the time. You know, she has a sort of like 50% attendance rate for her husband showings, because she finds that a lot of them are going through midlife crises. Yep. They're getting divorced, and they are on a motorcycle halfway to Joshua Tree, and they cannot be contacted because they are so busy finding themselves. And sometimes when a marriage dissolves, they're not in a place to sit at a movie, right? Yeah. Luckily, I do have a cousin, Mish, and she deals with a divorced husband monster truck rally test screening seminar. So we try and funnel them down a pipeline of something that will be exciting to them, something that will give them new life.
And can still generate money for you, right? For your family.
Exactly.
And for the entertainment industry at large, right? Because these are...
You know, of course.
Yeah. So
yes, I am very lucky that my agent was able to work out back end points so that anytime a boyfriend buys a ticket to the Dark Knight, I do receive 1/3%.
And now how do they know that that ticket buyer is a boyfriend?
Phones. We track it with the phones. You would not believe the stuff your phone is tracking. It's kind of unbelievable. Yeah. They can tell if you're kissing. They can tell if you have someone that you're frequently kissing at home. And if the kiss ratio is high enough, they will be marked as a boyfriend. And Apple has been so amazing to feed us that data.
Well, and I also wonder if the kiss ratio goes past a certain point, if it's actually marked as maybe an affair, because those usually generate even more kisses.
Yes, the affair, when you're marked as having an affair, you are temporarily removed from our system because I just can't track what's going on with you, and you have bigger things to worry about. They're already so busy. They've got so much on their plate. I don't want to put this on as well. So we're dealing with people who are faithful.
Now, what happens when that person starts dating someone? Are we back looped into boyfriend mode?
That's the beautiful thing about being a boyfriend. You can always come back. Watch The Dark Knight. Live again. It'll always be there waiting for you.
What a cool job you have. You have found something that is truly a passion for you. And I can just tell it by the way you know, you talk about it. You're so excited.
Oh, thank you so much. I was going to be a doctor and I decided not to.
Well, it sounds like this is more lucrative and you don't have to worry about keeping people alive, right?
Oh, yeah. You can say that. I'll tell you that. My third home in Malibu can say that for sure.
Trish, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. I am so excited to be able to talk to you again the next time we are doing a movie that feels like it falls into the boyfriend category. And somehow I feel like even if it doesn't, there's probably you're connected to whatever category it does fall into, you know?
I'm sure. Well, you know what? I'll say this. Call me if you ever do one battle after another, because that has kept me very busy.
I just watched it and I watched it alone. And God, do I wish I had a boyfriend with me. I don't have a boyfriend, but it made me really want to have one.
That's how we get you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Trish. Can't wait to talk to you again sometime.
All right. I got to go to Nobu. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Whoa, Steven Levinson? That was super informative.
My mind is blown.
Yeah, Filander, don't even get me started. I love saying that. Anyway, that's our show for today. Special thanks to my guests, Chris Karwowski, Dave Willis, and Kylie Brakeman. And also thank you, the listener. You guys, without listening, if someone records a podcast and no one listens to it, is it still a podcast? Yeah, it's most podcasts, actually.
It is, actually, yeah.
But
and not this one, because of you.
This one, though, is seriously popular because of you. You're listening, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Anyways, see you next time, or hear you next. Well, I don't know. I guess, yeah, see you next time. Sure.
We will see you.
Yeah.
Because we look at you, the listener. We see you.
And we live in a surveillance society.
Bye.
The Novelizers is hosted by me, Dave Hill, and produced by Steven Levinson. Hey, Steven. With Graham Douglas, Cole Emhoff, Kevin Carter, Christine Bullen, Dennis DiClaudio, and Rob Kuttner. Music by Cole Emhoff. Additional editing by Sunita Haberline. Graphic design by Crystal Dennis. Theme song by Andrew Lynn. Performed by Knotts. Additional support by Elizabeth Tavares. Distributed by Cincinnati Public Radio. The Novelizers is an AI-free podcast. Written, narrated, and edited, and scored entirely by human beings. Can you imagine that? The Novelizers is a work of unauthorized parody. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And please support us on Patreon. Copyright 2026, Novelizers, LLC.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.